invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read something about just that here in the admonition of our brother, the Apostle Peter, and the Lord speaking to us through this good word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace will be multiplied if we know more about our Lord, what he's done for us, what he's promised, and the strength and the things that he's made. That about prayer that our brother's been telling about in the Sunday school class, and encourage you to be here for that. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, he hath given us, right? That's past tense. It's been done, okay? Everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, by that provision of our Lord, we might be partakers of the divine nature. His verse 3, his divine power has given us this, and he has equipped us, he's given us, he's made available to us those things that we need that we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or the desire of the flesh. This old man, we're admonished to give up on the old man, just let him go and follow after our Lord. And beside this, in verse 5, give all diligence. Be about it. Be busy about it. Quickly pursue it. Time's running out, okay? Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, the adding of these things, add these to your faith, be diligent about it, be looking to do it. We've got to be conscious, we've got to be awake, we've got to know that they are there and the call of our Lord to do so. Be diligent about it. If these things be in you and they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Blindness can come on, even to the child of God, cannot see afar off, get nearsighted, right? And hath forgotten. It can even get so bad that he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We are given by our Lord those things to add to the faith that he has given unto us and that we possess. Then we come to Galatians chapter 5 again. And in verse number 22, the apostle takes up in writing here about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no filling of these. There's no getting to the point where I've done it. I've got it accomplished. No, there is no law against these. These are the fruit of the Spirit. They do come from within the manifestation. This is the manifestation of the Spirit within the believer being manifested in the life. This is what will be yielded, what will be exhibited. And it goes on to say, and they, verse 24, they that are Christ's, are you Christ's, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, what the flesh wants to do, what the body wants to do, what the mind wants to do, what the world wants to lead the body and the mind to do, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, salvation, let us walk in the Spirit, that's life. Let us not be desirous of the vainglory of the world, provoking one another, envying one another, being jealous of one another like the world is one another. Jesus' example about what we are to add and exhibit. In Galatians 5, verse number 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, in contrast with the works of the flesh, The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy. And we take a look at this Greek word joy. It speaks about cheerfulness. I like this. I like this about joy, this definition of joy. Calm delight. Calm delight. We have joy in our Lord. We are, it's very near in that of patience, where we patiently, with expectation of hope, we wait on our Lord. Joy, calm delight, gladness, and being joyful in our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your good blessings upon us. We thank you for the word that's been preached and brought forth, Father, and taught. We thank you for the great provision that you've given unto us in prayer. Oh, Father, help us that we would be mindful to avail ourselves to it. Father, help us that we would personally worship you and privately worship you. Help us not to forget that, to know that it's not only in the worship service of your church that we can worship you, but we need to praise and honor and glorify and worship you every day of our lives. Thank you for such great blessings and goodness towards us. Thank you, Father, that as your children, you've given yourself to us. And Lord, help us to know that and believe that, rest in it, trust in it, hope in it, Lord, and be about the business that you've given us to do. Father, for those that are here and not saved, we pray you'd speak to them. Lord, help them to see that without Christ, they have no possibility of joy. Oh, there may be some happiness that they might experience in the flesh, but Lord, indeed, it will not last. And Lord, we pray that you might help them and you'd work in their hearts that they may see that joy in the Lord is from you. Lord, save as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless, and Lord, your hand upon us in every way. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake, and amen. Again, as we look and consider this subject, this topic of joy, and the joy being a fruit of the Spirit, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're not told to add joy. Okay, it's not there that we add a joy, but other things are mentioned. And if we add those components, we see that if we add to faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. How about knowledge? Is there anything about the Lord when he tells us about what he's done for us, how far he's brought us, how far he's taken us, and what he's done? When we have knowledge about the Lord and how he condescended and came down to us, does any of that make you sad? Well, indeed, it might cause us to weep, but do we not weep for joy because of what our Lord has done for us? It's not anything that we learn, anytime that we learn anything about our Lord and how he's done what he's done for us, it indeed brings joy to the child of God. We have, oh, what a Savior that we have that would do and reach as far as he has reached for the sake of sinners, for the sake of his children. So Peter doesn't tell us, the scripture there doesn't tell us to add joy, but there are components that we add. We see here that we're to add godliness, what the Lord would do. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you're tempted, when you're tried, when some temptation comes along in the flesh or in our minds, or we're confronted by a thing in the world and we resist that? We find that way of escape, of obedience of our Lord, and we come out on the other side where the Lord has blessed us and helped us, and we've been kept from it. We don't yield to that temptation. Don't we come out on the other side of that thankful and joyous that we've been delivered? That, you know, that once again, we have experience that what the Lord has told us, it does work. It does work. We're to this flesh and this old world, it just says, that isn't going to work. God's way is not going to work, but it does work. His way does work. And doesn't that give us joy? And so our brother writes, our Lord speaks to us that joy is not something that we add, but those different components that we're to add to faith, those things that we are to be diligently adding to faith, indeed, they will render an exhibition of joy in our lives. He says in 2 Peter 1, verse 8, I'll read it to you. For if these things be in you, if these things that you add be in you and abound, and they abound, you be diligent about doing so, and you be conscious about doing so, and you be seeking to do so, and you pray to the Lord to do so. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a child of God, what do you know about Jesus that makes you sad? Right? What do you know about our Lord, our great God and King, our Redeemer and Deliverer that makes us sad? Oh, when the condemnation of sin was upon us and before we were saved, it was fearful. But isn't it great to think about the Lord, that he is high and lifted up and that he is all powerful and that he is the ruler? He will obey and fulfill all the things. Our Lord Jesus as a man will fulfill all those things for us, if you will, that God has commanded to man. He will fulfill those, and that is imputed to us. We'll be there in the millennial kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ. How did I get to that? Does that make you sad? No, it makes us rejoice, doesn't it? Hey, it would be good enough just to be the foot washer. Just to be the foot washer, basin, bowl, and water carrier in the kingdom of God. That would be good enough. But he says to us, well done, that good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I'll make thee ruler over five cities. One city. The joy of our Lord and his greatness and his goodness towards us. Oh, as the children of God, when we sin, it does squelch our joy, doesn't it? When we do grieve the Spirit, when we do quench the Spirit, our joy is brought down. Why? Because there's something between us and the Lord that's there. Something else has entered in. I've sinned against my Lord. I'm harboring something, as Brother Stephen has mentioned, and as he pointed out about the passage there in Psalm 32. It affects our joy. But listen, we're saved eternally. The provision is there. If I'll confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive me through Christ. Now, I confess it, and he's faithful and just to forgive me. Doesn't that make you joyful that he does? See, it's not as it was before, that there was no hope and no help, and not that we do any of that of ourselves, indeed, but the Lord's made a provision because he knows we will sin. Isn't our God good?
Amen.
Isn't he good? He is indeed good to us. We want to take a walk through the scripture here and just see about what Jesus said about joy in his life upon this earth as he walked and lived some 2,000 years ago. And Matthew chapter 13, and if you have your Bible and you can read, turn to these passages and read them for yourself. In Matthew 13, what Jesus said about joy and different things concerning joy and what he defined as joy during the time of his ministry. In Matthew 13, verse number 44, the scripture says here that our Lord says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. An aspect of the kingdom is what our Lord is speaking about here. And he says that joy, or that he has found, that treasure that he has found, he's found it in this field. He'll take everything that he's got and he'll put it all on the market and gain what he needs to gain so he can go buy that field. And he selleth all that he had and buyeth that field. He says, the man hath found, he hideth for joy thereof. I tell you, what do you have greater than the salvation that you have in Christ? Knowledge about being in the kingdom of the Lord as a child of God. Our Lord speaks here about the joy of the truth of God. Isn't it good to know the truth? Isn't it good to know the truth? The world will look on us and say, who are you to say that you have the truth? Well, it's been revealed to us by our Lord. And it's been revealed to us not by some vision or something that we have had that's in and of ourselves that you've got to rely on us to interpret, but it's been shown to us the truth in God's good word right here written on the page. He's caused it to mean something to us. What of life is worth that? The truth, knowing the truth about self and sin and the Savior, the future, the promises of God, the Lord's church. What is worth more? to this man, he said, when he found this treasure, and it was a great treasure in this field, he took everything of life, and he put that away, he put that aside so he can go and get that. And by no means salvation is bought. The Lord's not speaking about that, but he's talking about the greatness of the joy of the truth of God. And then we come to John chapter 4. Let's take a look over here. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, the Lord here, having earlier in the chapter, dealt with the woman at the well at Sychar. And here, the Lord speaks about the harvest. Joy in what the Lord has done and is doing. John chapter 4, verse number 6, the Lord saith, and he that receiveth, reapeth, receiveth wages. There needs to be workers for the field. The Lord said they're wide into harvest as those men came up from Sychar there to the well. He that reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, laying up store in heaven, sending treasure ahead, right? That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He that soweth, rejoiceth. He that reapeth, rejoiceth. You spread the gospel. A preacher preached the word of God and the gospel, and others came in behind that and were used of the Lord to reaffirm that, to water that, and folks were saved. Doesn't it bring joy to see what the Lord does? Indeed it does. Joy in what our Lord has done and is doing. It's his great plan. It's his great work. It's his great gospel. It's his great word. And he uses the likes of us to be the means to carry it. And isn't it great? Isn't it great? What better thing? You know, this that we have of salvation and touched by our Lord, this that we have in the church to worship our Lord, it's eternal. It's eternal. When we get our heart right and we get things and we see things right, you know, I like working with my hands. I like working on fixing stuff. Here lately, had a lot to work and fix on. It's just that way. But you know what? Those things are going to pass away, but this is eternal. This is eternal, the word of God and his truth and his working. It's eternal. The God bringing the harvest. We don't bring the harvest. We don't do that. The Lord does that, but he uses us and we get to see it. We love to see the harvest, don't we? We love to see the salvation of sinners. In John chapter 8, our Lord dealing with these folks here, we're looking under the topic of joy and what the Lord has done and is doing. There's a sub topic to that and God bringing his promises to bear. Okay. The Lord Jesus speaking to these here, he simply says in verse number 56, your father Abraham, speaking to the Jews, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Now he didn't see it in Jesus, the man coming, but he looked forward to the Lord promising it. And the thing is, I think that the Lord is implying that he's rejoicing right now and that he knows that I have come. God's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. God of the living. The Lord bringing the harvest. The Lord bringing his promises to bear. And in chapter 14 of this same book, it says, the Lord Jesus says in verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice that I'm fulfilling what the Father's given me to do. Because I said, I go unto the Father, and for my Father is greater than I. He said, if you understand, if you could just see it, you're saddened because I'm going away. But you know, if you really understood what the Lord, what the Father's doing here, and I being obedient to him, my going away, you would rejoice about. There's rejoicing. There's joy in what the Lord has done and is doing. In John 17, where our Lord prays there on the way to Gethsemane, in verse number 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I tell you what, Jesus is there accomplishing the gospel. He's moving towards the accomplishing of the gospel. He's doing what he was born to do some 33 years ago. And you know, if we just see it like God sees it, we would rejoice and have the joy of our Lord in these things. In John chapter 16, I want you to turn over here and look at this. In John chapter 16, we have joy in what the Lord has done and is doing. Another subtopic of that is joy because of the presence of Jesus. Jesus has promised that he'd be with us this morning. Amen. You know, and if you're a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, and I know there's hindrance and providential hindrance and things like that that happen, things that folks have just got to tend to, the health of a loved one, or they're ill, or something that happens. Sometimes, I mean, cars break down and tires go flat and things happen. But you know what? If we can be here, we ought to be here. Jesus has promised to be here. And again, the Lord indeed is omnipresent. But when it is the call of his church to be together to worship, is he there as much as he is here? I know he's everywhere. But if you and I are off goofing off, you think we have the blessing of the Lord upon us? No, we don't. We don't. And the Lord knows. And we just need to be honest with him about that. I can't reckon those things. Only the Lord can. But joy because of the presence of Jesus. In verse number 20 of chapter 16, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come, the hour of delivery. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again. I will see you again. Hang on to that. Hear that. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Brother David Pittman, he preached about how it was with the disciples, how they were sorrowful, and then they were glad when they saw the Lord, and then they were exceeding joyous when the Lord had returned to heaven. How could that be? Well, they had the promise. They had the teaching. They had the word of the Lord. They had understanding about the Lord, enlightened them and opened their hearts and eyes to see the work of the Lord. And it was right to the Lord for the Lord Jesus to go to the right hand of the Father. And that was good. And the Lord says here, he says, I'll be back and you'll see me again. Joy because of the presence of Jesus. And you know what? None can take that joy away from the child of God. We have the presence of the Lord Jesus within our souls, within our hearts, if you will. We have the presence of the Lord Jesus meeting with us in his church. We have the working of the Lord Jesus in our lives that we need to yield to. And you know what? No one can take that away from us. No one, no man taketh it from you. I will see you again. And then we see here under this of joy in what the Lord has done is in doing. In Luke chapter 15, take a look over here. We have mentioned and touched on this a little bit regarding the harvest and what the Lord said in John chapter 4. But we have joy and that sinners have repented and been saved. We have joy in particular that sinners have repented and been saved. Look here. In Luke chapter 15, verse number 5, he says here, when this one that has 100 sheep, the Lord's speaking of himself, it says in verse 5, when he hath found that one, he layeth it on his shoulders. We sing a song about this, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. What about here on the earth? When we see it. When it's in our midst that the Lord saves the soul, there's rejoicing by our Lord and him finding his lost sheep. There's rejoicing by our Lord. Should there not be joy amongst us? Indeed, we rejoice and we have joy over the salvation of sinners in our midst. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 9. And the woman that lost the coin, when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Joy. Joy over seeing our Lord touching and convicting sinners repenting and being saved. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord sent our brethren out, and he sent them out to minister, and they came back. The 70 came back. The Lord sent the 12, and then he sent the 70, and speaks to us about how many were in the church at that time. And it says here in Luke chapter 10, verse number 17, we have the joy from our Lord, a joy manifested. You know, it is to be exhibited, our joy. Life can be difficult indeed, and life can be trying, and things of life can get us down. Indeed it can. I'm not saying that will not and is not. Things will affect us. I'll tell you what, that which we've been given by our Lord, it needs to overcome that. We need to rejoice in our Lord and knowing, as the brother mentioned this morning, all things work together for those that love God, who are the called according to his purpose, right? And sometimes that's hard. When five things break down at one time, it's hard. But the Lord knows. He might be keeping us out of trouble otherwise. He may be doing, we got to remember that. And the thing is, we think, you mean the Lord would allow or cause something else to break down to keep me out of other trouble because he loves me? We have rejoicing in that, don't we? He cares enough. On the surface, it may seem like it's just too much. But here the brethren go and they're empowered by the Lord. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject unto us through thy name. Listen to this. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. You know, it's not that way in our day. We've not been given that. Although the Lord indeed, I believe, protects us. Okay, but as they had, they would run into someone that would be demon possessed. You know what we have? If that would be the case for us in this life, what the Lord gives us in the scriptures, we're to pray to our Lord that He would relieve them, that He would save them, that He would touch them. We're not given this of laying on of the hand to cast out demons in that. Our petition is to God that He would work. And we know of brethren on the mission field that believe indeed that they ran into demon-possessed people. But we, as it was in their day, and the Lord gave them that power, the 70, that power, how is it about with us? Was that not a part of their ministry? They went out to preach. They went out to heal. They went out to minister the Word of God. And can we take this and bring this to our day? We rejoice in our Lord in the blessing of a good service. A minister would rejoice that a message that the Lord would give him to preach would be heard. And that, as we would say, folks would respond. But I think that we can bring in, draw this to our day and say, don't rejoice in those things. The Lord using you. And we're thankful for the Lord using us in the ministry and the Lord blessing us that way. It is his blessing. But don't rejoice in what you're able to do for the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Don't rejoice and we thankful we should be. But don't rejoice in what you're able to do for the cause of the Lord. But rather, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You hear that? They've been thinking about me in heaven. If you're here and saved, they've been thinking about you and talking about you in glory in heaven. What greater joy is there than that?
Amen.
The God, the one that has always been, is thinking about me in heaven. Tell you what, that's rejoicing indeed. Rejoice, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Not that I've used you in this ministry that I've caused you to do. I mean, we're thankful for that. And the things that you were able to do, they declared. They said, Lord, even the devils were subject unto us for thy name. Lord, at the preaching of that message, many were saved. You know, a preacher and a pastor's really got to get over himself. It's something that's got to happen with a man of God that is going to serve the Lord right. And I ask you, pray for me about that. You know, when there's a little bit of blessing, it would be so easy for a man to get pumped up in pride. Or the Lord give a good message and you really feel good about it. You know, sometimes the messages that seem to work are the messages I don't feel good about. See, it's not about me. It's about our Lord. You see that? You know, as the Lord would bless, and there would be many that would come and would be saved. And here at Olmsted Baptist Church, you need to pray for your pastor that he doesn't get the big head, that it's something that he's done. And I think that's a warning that we see here. Don't rejoice in what you've been able to do by the call of the Lord. He gave them to do it. He gave it to them to do. And well, they should have done it. Well, we should do what we do today. But in the doing and the accomplishing of that, don't rejoice in that. We're thankful to our Lord. You hear it's a fine line that's there. Rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We're known by the King. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our Lord, in this same chapter, listen to what he says here in verse number 21. In that same hour, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. The rejoicing of our Lord. Understand where we are. What's it speak to us in Corinthians about who's called? And it's not the popular of this world. It's not the great of this world. Not the wise of this world. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. That's who we are. We're babes. We're babes before our Lord. And he rejoiced in spirit in this fact. Lord, you didn't reveal these things to the wise and prudent. You haven't done these things with the noble of the world. You've revealed them and you've worked through babes. That thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus rejoiced in that, and well, we should rejoice in that. When we've done all, the Lord Jesus, they said, Lord, increase our faith. When you've done everything that I've commanded you to do, say, we are unprofitable servants at best. You know, we're going to have a hard spell getting to doing everything he's commanded us to do. Joy in our Lord. Oh, what a joy indeed it is. And this about joy in what our Lord is doing, has done and is doing, we come to another point in John chapter 15, about joy because of the Lord's care for us and our care one for another, our fellowship with the Lord and one another. In John chapter 15, verse number 11, as the Lord deals with his church and his church alone there as they're on the way to Gethsemane, he says, these things in verse 11 have I spoken unto you that my joy, it's his, might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He's spoken to them about loving one another. He's spoken to them about abiding in him. He's spoken to them about without him, we can do nothing. And he says in chapter 13 of this same book, in chapter 13, in verse number 17, he's given an example in the washing of their feet, the humility of our Lord, that he would stoop to wash the disciples' feet, the apostles' feet. See, the Lord came to serve, not to be served. And we are called to serve. You know what? When we take and we live life for self, we will not be joyous. But when we follow our Lord and we give of our life, he that saveth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth it for my sake and the gospel shall find it. That's the example of our Lord. He poured out his life for the sake of others. You know what? That's the only way to have joy in the Lord. Another aspect of it. And he says here in verse 15, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Our Lord has just washed the disciples' feet. Peter says, you're not washing my feet. The Lord says, if I don't wash your feet, you've got no part with me. Peter says, wash my head and my hands and my feet. Wash me, wash me. I've got a part with you. I want a part with you. Lord says, feet's enough. Wash his disciples' feet. The Master, the Creator, the Savior washes his children's feet. He says, if you can get a handle on this, if you can really grab a hold of this, to understand that your calling by me is not a calling to serve yourself. Listen, it's not a call to serve self, but as I have done to serve others. Say what? You'll be happy. Now, this word happy here is indeed different than the happiness that is found in the world. If we go and we take a look at that Greek word about it, it speaks about being supremely blessed. You'll be supremely blessed if you do them. And there's got to be action behind it. And then a couple more points. In chapter 16, we see here in John that there's joy. We have been given that which we have asked of the Father in Jesus' name. Brother Stephen is going and doing a series of lessons about prayer, and there is much to prayer, and it's easy for us to get it caught up in just the asking part of it. And our Lord indeed tells us to do so, but, well, we should praise our Lord and thank our Lord and glorify his name in it. You know, indeed, I believe and have come to see this more. Our personal and private worship of our Lord will be reflected in our public worship of the Lord. I think it will be. It will be our praise of him. Do we think about him? Do we muse about him? Do we consider his word? And do we just thank him in our day-to-day lives that he is God and he's been pleased to touch us and he's been so good and loaded us daily with benefits indeed. In John 16:24, in regards to asking, the Lord tells his disciples and us in verse 24 of John 16, Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Somehow the Lord takes care of it. Somehow the Lord does it. Somehow the Lord provides for it. Somehow the Lord heals. Somehow the Lord lifts up. Somehow the Lord brings help and discouragement, whether it be us or a loved one or a brother and sister in Christ or another or a neighbor that we know. We ask, and the Lord does so, and we're found many times to say, well, I didn't know he could do it like that. Isn't that great? See, that shows my unbelief. But then it's a wonder and an acknowledgement of the greatness of the Lord. Look at what the Lord has done. I would have never thought to do it that way. Good thing they weren't counting on me. And the Lord did it. And the Lord did it. And what happens? You can't help but rejoice in the Lord over it. See, our joy is indeed bound up in him, is it not? It's bound up in our Lord and what he has done. And then the Lord says, joy when we suffer persecution, rejection, and hardship for Jesus' sake. In Luke chapter 6, words from the lips of our Lord Jesus, our brother has recorded the God-breathed word that we have here. We talked about that with Brother Bobby in the devotion this morning. The Lord says in verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. When they hate you because you look to stand in my teaching and what my word says. When they'll look to take away your stuff, and they look to take away your place, and they look to take away your influence in the world and society. They look to take everything away from you. And just in that principle, you won't give up what I have given you to do. They hate you. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. And it's happening more and more today, and it will happen. It's a shame when this is done amongst brethren. It's sad and pitiful when it's done among brothers and sisters in Christ, this separating from company. But are you standing in the Word of God? Are we standing in what God has said, and we've got the Scripture to back it up? He says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, that no good, dirty, rotten Jim Duke. What's it say? For the Son of Man's sake. Make sure it's for the Son of Man's sake and what he has said. See, we don't have any information or any offering of self. What we have is what our Lord has said in his word. What our Lord has said. That's what Jesus said to do. That's what the Word of God says to do. He says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. When's the last time you jumped? I don't jump too good anymore. Brother Doug doesn't jump too much, too good anymore either. But our Lord Jesus says, when that happens to us, leap for joy. Got a 3-inch vertical leap. Matthew, he's been jumping here recently, and he'll get off the floor a little bit. Our Lord says, he says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. There's joy when we suffer persecution, rejection, and hardship for Jesus' sake. The reward in heaven will be great. We don't serve our Lord for the reward. We serve and worship him because he's God. He's to be feared above all other. Right? That's what our brother read this morning. And may the Lord help us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. Partakers of Christ's sufferings. I think that's part of what the Lord gives in the parables about the different types of soil. The hard wayside, and it's over there amongst the rocks and that stony ground where the rocks have been piled up around the field. And that over there, it's in the thorns and the part of the field that hadn't been cleared yet. And then there's that prepared ground. You know, over there in the rocks and over there in the thorns, riches come up and choke out the word. And that there in the rock, it says, when there's persecution for the sake of the word of God, and anon they are offended. Because it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it to do that, to go that way for just some words on a page that some man says that he believes that they're interpreted that way. So they let it pass. It's just too much. It's just too hard. And there is indeed no joy there, is there? But you know what? I think what happens is with some folks is with joy and anon, they receive the message of the word, but they don't have an understanding that there's going to be Christ's sufferings attached to it. They just don't see it. And when that comes along, our brother says, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding great joy. And then there's joy in serving the Lord and eternal blessing with him. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 21, our Lord says, as the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those that had taken the talents and used them as the Lord commanded. He's the one that said, abide till I come, right? He gives the words. He delivered unto them as their goods and gave them instruction about what to do and gave them, equipped them according to their several ability. He gave them instruction to abide till I come. Be busy. And then there was that reckoning. And the Lord said unto him, verse 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The joy of thy Lord. We're heading for that. Verse 23, and his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. There's joy of serving. Yeah, how you reckon it was with those brethren? And of course, that's a parable. How you reckon it was with them? Were they content and joyful about obeying the command of their Lord as they were about his business? See, there was no guilt in doing that, was there? The Lord provided them according to their several ability. He gave them the talents. They obeyed him. The Lord could come back at any time. That's the point. And when they came back, they gave an accounting of what was being done. They had no grief, no shuddering, no issue. They were about doing what the Lord had given them. It'll be his choice when he comes back. And they were busy compared to the one that just took it and hid it in the earth. He trusted the earth. He trusted the way of the world. He trusted what he could come up with. He had fear the whole time that the Lord was coming back. Then one day the Lord did come back. And even that talent of life was wasted. In conclusion, to we who are saved, we need to add to faith these things: virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, love with legs on it. We are to be about exhibiting, not a feigning. It's not about faking this. One can't do this for a lifetime. I don't believe it can be done. But indeed, we as the children of God are to exhibit and manifest joy, the joy of the Lord in our lives. If we don't have joy, why would somebody want what we have in the Lord? And we are indeed called to be witnesses. Our Lord's joy challenge to us. In Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah and Ezra and the other brethren that were there, they encouraged the people of God. When the word of God was read unto them, they cried because of the reading of the law of the Lord. And Nehemiah says, no, this is the day of blessing. This is the goodness of the Lord. This is the return of his people to the city and to the place, and to hear the word of God brought forth and for us to obey it in it. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And obedience and walking with the Lord. In Philippians 4:4, the scripture says, and the apostle writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in him. Our rejoicing, our joy is connected indeed with our Lord. Our joy is in him. And in 1 Thessalonians, he writes to that church there in Thessalonica in Greece. In 5:16, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Do you manifest the joy fruit of the Spirit in your life, child of God? Has your joy fruit waxed cold? Do you have any joy fruit at all in your Lord? Our Lord Jesus said and told the folks there and that woman at the well at Sychar, namely in John 4:14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. That joy will spring up. It'll spring up because of the touch of our Lord. In Romans 8:9, the apostle writes, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Is there any joy fruit there? Has it waxed cold? Oh, again, our Lord says, and the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Lastly, to those of you that are here and not saved, there is a joy that every child of God has, and that joy is looking forward to seeing the Lord face to face. Every child of God looks forward to seeing his Lord face to face. Listen, in Acts chapter 2, verse 26, Peter preaching there, he's quoting about David and what David said in the Psalms. Therefore did my heart rejoice, the psalmist declares, Peter preaching it over again, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. In verse 28, he goes on to say, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. When we see the countenance of our Lord, we will be full of joy. You know, but for those that are saved, unsaved, it's not so. It's not that way. There's a dread about seeing Christ. Do you have a dread about seeing Christ? Oh, we who are saved, indeed, we know that we've not served our Lord perfectly, and we, by the rebuke of that, and the Spirit of God telling us that, the Word of God telling us that, it tells us and admonishes us, confess it before the Lord, get it right, and move on to do better. Okay, we move on to be disobedient. But with the unsaved, and that thought of seeing the face of the Lord, it's like it says in Revelation 6:16, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The children of God desire to see the face of their Savior. But those who are unsaved are fearful indeed. In Revelation 20:21, we think about this, about the creation. But here we need to remember that we are of the creation, people. It says there in Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. That's what men without Christ want to do. They don't want to look on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire for you that are here and not saved is that you might know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that it may be so for you, what's said in Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face. We want you to see the face of the Lord. We want you to have joy in the Lord. We want you to know forgiveness of sin and salvation of the soul and what true joy is. True joy that comes from faith and the touch of the Lord and salvation. We want it to be that you have true joy, and indeed that it may be eternally full.